Christ, his son, by the power of the Holy Spirit, would speak truth to your hearts. Pastor Dan.
Well, praise the Lord. Yes,
praise the Lord.
Lord. Man, it's a beautiful day out here today, isn't it?
Is this the day the Lord has made?
This is the day.
What should be our reaction to it?
Rejoice.
Let us rejoice.
Amen. Amen. I'm glad to be able to give God thanks and praise for allowing me to see another day.
Well,
all he's working.
Brothers, y'all, do y'all happen to know that if Lord bless me with a couple more weeks, I'll see another birthday, man?
Oh, man.
What number is it? 74.
Man, praise God.
Is God good?
Can anybody convince you that God ain't good?
No, I'm afraid that's going to be a hard sell. That brother.
Amen. But we thank God for another opportunity to come and share with you the praise God, God's perspective, as far as a lot of the things that we see happening in our lives and all around us. You know, God has a perspective, and actually, that's our perspective. Is that right, brother?
Yeah, we share the same.
Some people will refer to it as a biblical worldview.
Okay.
Yeah. Or the mind of Christ.
Mind of Christ. All
right. And every believer, true believer, ought to think. As the Lord thinks, amen?
Yeah. Yeah.
Our mind should be in sync with the Lord, especially as you grow in the Lord. I know that a lot of young Christians, you know, they try to get their minds in sync.
Yes. Yeah.
And, but, you know, if you've been saved 4, 5, 6, 7 years, you ought to be pretty well
aligned. Decades.
Hey, man. You ought to be lining up with God's word. You ought to be well versed enough on what God says to kind of line up your thoughts with God's thoughts, you know?
Yeah.
But we in a world today where they are putting a lot of pressure, you know, even on the church to line up not with God's word, but to line up with the consensus of the majority in the world. Is that right?
That's right.
Amen. That's a temptation for a lot of people. I don't think it's a problem with the seasoned believers because we're kind of stubborn, you know? And set in his ways, not in, I won't say our ways, but we used to be set in our ways,
right.
But now we're set in his ways now.
That's right.
Amen. And that's it's important that we make sure that we truly say what God says, and especially in a world that's turning more and more anti-God each and every day. But now, what we want to kind of kick around today and maybe on the next broadcast also, some of the proposed changes in our Constitution, you know, the framers of the Constitution, I believe, they gave us a very solid document.
Oh yeah.
You know,
yes.
A solid document.
Yes.
And, there are those, today that want to scrap the whole Constitution.
Oh yeah, throw it all out.
Throw it out.
Start from scratch
all over again to meet the change in times.
That's what they say.
The worldview.
That's what they say.
Worldview.
But the question is, does God change? And we do believe that the Constitution was modeled after the Word of God.
Absolutely.
The document had wording in there that made it very plain that the Constitution was being formulated based upon morality, moral standards, and
well, the Word of God, Pastor.
The Word of God.
And it's that plain and that clear that this document was created and instituted based upon God's law, God's Word, God's mind.
Okay. So, and that's clear in the whole putting together of the Constitution.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And any believer, you know, and if you read the Constitution,
mm-hmm.
and you read it and interpret it like it is,
yeah,
and you will see God's word all in it.
Sure you can.
Absolutely,
sure you can,
bro.
Yeah. Sure you can.
Absolutely.
But now the question is, can we change this Constitution and still remain in God's good grace and expect God to continue to bless us? Because we know that in these changes, morality is being kicked to the side, right?
That's right.
Huh?
We know that. Change. We can't.
We can't afford that. That's the foundation.
Yeah.
You know, of our country. We've been blessed based upon our, you know, trying to adhere to that Constitution.
But that was understood, though, Pastor, from the beginning.
That's the foundation.
You know, the framer said themselves that document, that this Constitution would only work for a moral people.
Okay.
So they were well aware that it was some self-governance that had to go on.
Yeah.
Even with such a great document.
Okay.
At some point.
Mm-hmm.
Cause, I mean, if you change it, that 9 times out of 10 is to accommodate a sin or some proclivity that people may have they want to keep up.
Right. Well, you know, like say, we've seen the courts change in the last few years, right? We've seen liberal judges being appointed in order to downplay the Constitution and downplay the Word of God.
Absolutely.
And we know, I mean, the intent is very plain. We're not, you know, accusing them of anything. Yeah. It's very plain.
Yeah.
They make it plain that they don't really believe in the old document. The old document needs to be scrapped,
that's
you know.
Say, yeah.
And so all the things, a lot of things like the voting, the immigration, to bring more voters in, you know, bring that culture in, which let it kind of water down the American foundational Christian culture.
Yeah,
want to get rid of that.
That's the plan.
So bring some more culture in. Kevin, what you gonna say?
People may still argue what you're saying, but like you said, history has shown that that they're taking out morality by the legalization of abortion, same-sex marriage, all these things that has gone to the highest level of court.
Okay,
the
sure.
courts went the other way,
sure,
opposite of morality.
Sure, you know? Opposite morality.
Now, before we get to the meat of the
law. Oh, Lord, let's pray.
Milton,
yeah. You should have pulled my coat a long time ago. Amen. Let's go.
Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Time, and Lord, as we come to discuss your truth. And
yes, yes.
Lord, if we're view on these different issues and subjects that we come before.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, realize that this world that we live in is groaning because of sin.
Yes,
Lord. We realize that sin is the problem.
Is the problem.
No matter what the subject is, what the topic is.
Yes, Lord.
Sin is the problem.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. We're coming to listening to deals out there everywhere, but members on this broadcast.
Yes,
Lord. You bless it. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So basically we just, you know, we're looking at the original intent of the Constitution, the founders' intention when they gave us the Constitution. And basically I think if you read the three documents that make up the, you know, you got the preamble, you got the Constitution, you got the Bill of Rights. If you look at all three of them and look at them real good, you can see the handprint of God in those documents. There's no doubt about it.
They may look at either one of them.
Yeah.
Okay. And you can see the handprint that way as well, Pastor.
But didn't the founders make it plain that they were modeling this new society on the Word of God? They made it plain based on some. They made that very plain.
I.e. the reason for the voyage over here.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't to usurp authority over the Indians. It wasn't for the gold.
No.
The yellow iron. You know. Now some of them probably wasn't looking at the yellow iron.
Yeah.
But for the most part, what was the reason, Kevin?
To worship freely.
Freely.
Yeah.
Free worship.
Persecution to be able to worship.
In our audience, we want you to understand that was the basic of the voyage financed by King James and all the rest of them, you know. The basis of them coming over here to be able to worship God, not tied down to an established, organized religion,
right.
But in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
That was the main reason for the. Now, it was others there that had other alternatives.
Of course.
Now, there was a couple of them on the boat when they saw the Indian come up on the shore with a gold tooth in his mouth.
He wanted some of that, you know.
Oh, where'd that come from?
So, I mean, that's like everything. Everybody in the church ain't here for the same reason.
That's right.
We got people in the church here every Sunday.
But the church's duty is still the same.
That don't change. And I think the majority of the people that came over, they came to be able to worship God in freedom.
Only in America.
Right. But now the Constitution is being challenged today. Very much so. Mm-hmm. And that's for basically what, we know God had an input in the formulation of the Constitution. And I'm concerned about the, liberal judges that are being put in positions, you know, to bypass the Supreme Court, bypass the amendment clauses, you know.
Absolutely.
and to change the law.
Well, to take away man's will.
They're taking away the will of
every man.
Yeah.
When you have these power-stricken judges in these places.
Right. And like I said, it's hypocritical to me for, you know, the liberals to say, well, we follow science. Okay, but now, what about biology, though? Is biology science?
Oh, yeah.
Is a male, he got certain kind of apparatuses, and a female got certain kind of apparatuses?
Yeah, but it's certain science that they want to follow.
Right, there you go. Appreciate that, bro.
Oh,
God, maybe we can get him back on the road. He's confused right now. And you know, this science thing, you can't pay a whole lot of attention to that because it only applies in certain matters anyway.
Okay, in certain matters, So just because a liberal judge doesn't really understand the difference between a male and female, that doesn't disqualify him from changing the Constitution.
Nobody. See, and the frame was built it that way.
Okay.
It's not supposed to be that easy to change.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we are, that's why it's ran by we the people.
Yes.
We are supposed to gauge mm-hmm. these people going into these positions.
Yes.
And put them there accordingly.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think I might have mentioned it to you yesterday. We got a liberal judge upstate somewhere just mm-hmm. snatched away this woman's parental rights.
Because she hadn't been vaccinated.
I don't believe the father would ever go for that. That's not what it was set up for.
No.
Okay. That's misinterpret the law that's already in place.
Right. Kevin, get this original intent page here. Okay. And I want you to kind of look over right quick while I continue to wax
eloquently
for just a few minutes.
Eloquently.
You kind of look it over. But now, you know, the influx of immigration from the south of our border here, south border, and coming from Afghanistan, it's a lot of people all that have come over here on this, airlift that are not really even connected to, helping the United States these many 20 years that we were over there. but all kind of people. But, you know, the intention is to change the culture of America, period.
Yeah, passed away.
Okay,
all rescue missions. I mean, yeah, you come through the era with me, bro. I mean, the move is where you got the dramatic rescues going on. The first thing they say, women and kids first.
Right, women and children first.
You don't see nothing but fighting age men.
I mean,
coming through the both sides of the border, being airlifted, fighting age men.
Well, see, that's a different culture. You just got to talk about.
No, that's what that is.
That's a different culture. See, now over in the United States, that's what they go for.
Men and women.
But in other countries, they ain't sitting there.
Yeah.
Okay. But they bring them.
People bring them over here. They turn the roof from all the regulations, all the etiquette in there. All that's gone.
Because there's another agenda. That's what we're going to get into.
That's what we're getting into here. But we realize that the Constitution is being targeted right now. That's my whole point right there. They really want to scrap it. They don't want to amend it.
No.
They want to scrap it.
No, well, they said that's the only thing you can do with it. They came straight out and said that.
Well, it's hard to, you know, the kind of alteration they want to make them on, it's going to be hard to do.
Well, they already deemed this systemically.
Okay.
Systemically flawed and racist. So, therefore, ain't no revamping and redoing. You gotta just scrap it and start with a good idea.
I believe old George turned over his grave, man. They accused him of
everything.
Systemic racism in the formulation of the Constitution. Kevin, we got a few articles here. One submitted by Original Intent. I thought that was really interesting. I kind of read that.
Yeah, this is
last night. You want to wax eloquence on that and kind of open it up for us a little bit?
Yeah, let's go with that.
Okay.
What is meant by original intent?
Intent, okay.
Original intent is a judicial approach in which justices or judges attempt to understand a constitutional provision by considering what it was meant to mean at the time. It was originally drafted. Yeah, that's the key. Thing.
So you're talking about what? 17 what?
1776.
What did they mean?
You can. That's the Bible the same way, ain't it?
Okay.
Oh,
they changed the Bible to it?
Oh, man. They tried to. Okay. We know they can't, but
original intent is.
Right.
Rebirth.
This is also called intentionalism or originalism. In the U.S., originalists believe that the Constitution, as written by the 55 framers, should be followed as closely as possible.
Okay.
Originalists believe that any judge who attempts to deviate from the original understanding of the Constitution or by necessity of doing so, replacing it with their own subjectivity.
That's right. Okay.
Judges, they argue, are a product of their own background, education, and history.
Say what now? Read that again now.
Judges, they argue, are a product of their own background, education, and history, and that's true.
If a judge come out of a family that's full of homosexuals, then his mind is going to be kind of slanted.
Sympathetic to it.
Compared to the other judges.
Okay.
But we can see by the 55 original framers, is that their attitude was not amongst what they experienced, but it was the standard of God that they did.
Us
four getting together, we can have our own experiences, and we may never come to a conclusion.
But if
we agree that the standard is higher than anything that we can
we
ever
become
change,
original.
There you go.
Imagine.
There you go. Then you got something to go on.
Right.
See, we never get into our opinion.
Right.
So that's a dangerous area when you just push your foundation out of the way.
They are therefore influenced by a variety of factors in making their judgments.
Mm-hmm.
By following the doctrine of original intent, justices can help to limit the influence of these extraneous factors. And that's true. Originalists argue that the danger that comes from ignoring original intent is that judges legislate
from the bench
instead of from the document.
That's right.
The law.
Okay. Good.
This means that through their judgments, they are making law, not interpreting and implying it as the framers intended.
That's right.
Exactly.
The law, the Constitution is for application. Each situation, we need to see what the law says about it.
Right.
The judge's job is to make sure what's said should be done is being done.
In parallel with the law.
Okay.
And that's just like the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
When the Pharisees or Sadducees, whoever come to Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
And Jesus
said,
what do the law say?
That's the same.
If the judges were doing that,
we're
not having this conversation right now.
And all these cases wouldn't be
right.
But now it's I feel like it should be.
Right. And that has no place when it comes to the Constitution.
That's right.
Okay, good. Read, bro.
Invites judges to do exactly what the majority has done here.
What's that?
Rome at large in the constitutional field, guided only by their
personal views.
As to the fundamental rights protected by that document.
Amen.
Personal view.
He also added He also added that he did not believe that government was capable of bestowing dignity through its actions.
Mm-hmm.
He argued that this was inherent and was not something that could be taken away.
Mm-hmm.
In particular, Thomas appeared to take issue with Justice Kennedy.
Uh-huh.
Justice Anthony Kennedy is currently the key.
That was during that time.
Swing his boat.
That what happened. What page? Two or five.
That's 2 or 5.
Yeah, we missed the page. I just picked up talking about Clarence Thomas and
okay.
Ashton.
Okay.
It's on the back.
I got that.
It's the bottom.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Originalists
argue that the danger that comes from ignoring original intent is that the judges legislate from the bench.
Mm-hmm.
This means that through their judgments, they are making law,
mm-hmm.
not interpreting and applying it as the framers intended.
Okay.
For originalists, is important that the Constitution does not become a vehicle for
social change.
Boy, now
this is
what's happening.
That's
today.
What's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Social change. So
they
change.
Instead believe that the protections of the Constitution offers should only extend to issues in society that are directly
mm-hmm.
or can reasonably be said to apply in the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, in the 2015 Obergefell versus Hodges case,
mm-hmm.
the Supreme Court ruled by 5-4 that the 14th Amendment required all states to recognize same-sex marriage as a constitutional right.
That's not so.
One of the judges who dissented against this decision was Justice Clarence Thomas, who is regularly described as an originalist.
Mm-hmm.
In his dissent, he argued that cases like Obergefell invite judges to do exactly what the majority has done here.
Mm-hmm.
Rome at large mm-hmm. in the constitutional field, guided only
by
their personal views
mm-hmm.
as the fundamental rights protected by that document.
Mm-hmm.
So it was 5-4.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of them looking at the constitutional right on what marriage is, a
mm-hmm.
person's right to marry,
mm-hmm.
they're
mm-hmm.
looking at their personal experience.
Yes.
Or what they believe.
Right. Seems like if you're dealing with marriage, a marriage issue, the first question that would be asked is, okay, well, what is marriage?
Right.
Okay, and go back to the original intent.
That's right. That sends you all the way back to the original intent.
Okay, marriage, right. Right.
Now that we're saying that, it's really hypocritical because they had the same type of argument for interracial marriage in the
60s. Oh, yes.
And they
yes.
went to the Constitution and saw that a man and a woman, no matter what color, should be married.
No, that's right.
Then they go to that same Constitution and see that same sex can be married.
Well, they had to change more than that in order to even make that argument catch any traction.
Yeah.
They had to make it all about love.
Right.
What
right.
does it matter if they love? And the Constitution says nothing about that.
No, they right. don't deal with love.
That's
right. See, and that's why they have their personal feelings and situations.
With Bob, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because some of the justices had friends that was
Gingberg,
or whatever her name was, she performed a same-sex marriage
before the law went into effect.
Before showing that she's biased already.
Yeah, already.
Before Burgfield
was then that should disqualify her from even sitting on the court.
Absolutely.
Huh?
Absolutely.
Or even both.
Because it was about her. See, it was about how she felt then.
Right, yeah, right.
And what
right.
she
it
think.
It wasn't about the law.
No, it didn't have nothing to do with it.
But like I say, we see how far that our government has gone away from the original intent and from the Word of God.
Yeah.
Is that what we're looking at
here? Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, you ain't got to be serious. Okay. And we've heard, you know, our former president say when he was in office, Trump, he wanted to elect leadership that would
constitutional judges.
And that was one of his
absolutely.
Main
And he did. I mean, as much as we can know, there's only so much we can know about them.
We
can look at what they've done and how they voted previously kind of from that way, but.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. All right, Kevin Reed.
Talking about Thomas
here. Thomas.
Right. He also added that he did not believe that government was capable of bestowing dignity through its actions. He argued that this was inherent and was not something that could be taken away. Mm-hmm. In particular, Thomas appeared to take issue with Justice Kennedy. Mm-hmm. And Justice Anthony Kennedy wrote the majority decision in the Obergefell and Hodges case.
Right, uh-huh.
Justice Anthony Kennedy is currently key swing vote at the Supreme Court, meaning that it depends on him. This means that the way he votes normally decides the outcome of most cases.
A lot of pressure, yes.
In Obergefell versus Hodges, he wrote the majority opinion and said,
what?
No union is more profound than marriage. For it embodies the highest ideals of love, fidelity, devotion, sacrifice, and family. Mm-hmm. In forming a marital union, two people become something greater than once they were. As some of the petitioners in these cases demonstrate, marriage embodies a love that may endure even past death. It would misunderstand these men and women to say they disrespect the idea of marriage. Mm-hmm. Their plea is they do respect it. Respect it so deeply that they seek to find fulfillment for themselves. Their hope is not to be condemned to lives in loneliness, excluded from one of the civilization's oldest institutions. They ask for equal dignity in the eyes of the law. The Constitution grants them that right. Mm.
That's a lie.
Oh,
you see, the simple fact is nothing is being withheld from them. Even before the Obergefell decision, still had the right to marry, to get married.
But
a marriage is a union between one man and one woman.
Amen.
They still had just as much right as any of us had.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, now, but what they're looking for, what they're seeking for, is the green light.
To continue
in what the Bible plainly calls abomination.
Abomination, right. Sure. And he supported it here. He supported it. You know, like I said, you could easily pull the Bible out and go to the book of Genesis right quick, male and female. Two people join together, male and female. It doesn't say anything about male and male or female.
The only thing they're going to throw at you with that passage is whether not everybody believes about it. Whether they know it or not, your life, by living under the Constitution of the United States, your life is based on biblical principles.
Sure it is. Sure. You can look at all over the world.
Yeah.
People have looked at it like a man and a woman.
That's always what it's been.
So all of a sudden, all these people are wrong. Everybody's wrong. The Bible is wrong, and all these people are wrong.
And that's the hard part about it, guys, because It's just a select few that's pushing this.
Now,
they get the masses to run behind them at times, but it's never the majority. And the sympathizers are more dangerous than the ones who actually engage.
True that. Read, brother. Read a little bit more of that.
There are a number of criticisms of original.
Sure there are.
Mm-hmm. It assumes that the Constitution was correct in the first place. Mm-hmm. It implies that the framers were unanimous in their agreement. However, this was not the case. The Constitution is a product of the combined wisdom of the founding fathers and is by no means inherently correct. Mm-hmm. The Constitution is very vague. It was impossible for the founding fathers to design constitutional mechanisms that would foresee all possible eventualities. The question arises as to whether a document that is deliberately vague can, in fact, be interpreted by all.
Deliberately vague.
That's good.
Deliberately vague. And we know what morality is, don't we?
You are. Right.
I beg Ken Morality. When just the word moral
is not.
Moral, being moral, being before Almighty God, our Creator. How can you split that up? You can.
Ain't no splitting halves over
right.
Go ahead, read.
Our conscience even tells us some things just wrong.
That's true. Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
Our conscience just tells us that you don't need the Constitution for that. That's why it was so vague, because of course the forefathers couldn't see Man, one day we're going to have to talk about same-sex marriage.
No. And you've been having Twinkie Winkies ever since, right. You know, the world.
Yeah, the world. Yeah.
You know, but they didn't, you know, they didn't.
It was never condoned.
It wasn't condoned.
It's always been wrong.
Well, when I was a kid, it was in the closet.
Yeah.
Wasn't in the closet?
Right.
In a way.
Yeah, absolutely.
And probably been in the closet for a long time, but as time has progressed, they have gotten bolder.
Well, the whole closet came out. They just turned the whole closet loose. That was the whole. Well, we know, like we're saying here now.
Okay.
That was a thing, a well-known thing through all our lives. And.
Yeah, we know that.
Even whether the argument is not about right, was it right or wrong or not, but is that don't we publicly have the right by your document?
Yeah, right. Okay.
To do this.
Yeah.
And the answer to that is no.
And
document don't give them that right.
And a lot of devious behavior was kept in the dark because, like I said, conscience wise, we knew it was wrong.
That's right.
Yeah. It was kept in the dark.
That's right.
You know, where it really belonged, you know.
Right.
And, but now we know it has come. You know,
why?
Because people have gotten more wicked. Is that right?
Yeah. Along with many other things. Probably. You remember we used to have lewdness laws that people would.
Oh, yeah.
That communities had to live by.
That's true.
Yeah. You know, when the last time you heard anything about that? You see what I'm saying? Public indecency or any type of lewd. We used to convince.
Even the Ku Klux wasn't out to just punish black folk. If you didn't take care of your family, they gonna whoop you.
They can't even whoop you.
If a man was neglecting his duties and was a drunk in the community, he gonna get a whooping. No, you know.
Yeah.
So, but progress has come.
Everybody knew that there was a such thing as morality.
Yeah, they knew that. They knew that. Yeah. The standards were there, and it was like I say. But as time has gone on, as the Bible has predicted, worse and worse,
yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Kevin, read a little bit more of that, baby. The question
arises as to whether a document that is deliberately vague can in fact be interpreted by all.
Deliberately vague.
The Constitution was written 230 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Any document written in the 18th century.
Wait a minute, bro. It's interpreted at all. So they say it can't be really put anything.
Okay,
right.
In what this document says.
Okay, can you really audit, huh?
Can you really, can you really interpret, you know, do it really say what it say?
Right.
Okay, I got you. Go ahead, Doctor.
The Constitution was written 230 years ago.
230 years ago. Okay.
Any document written in the 18th century that seeks to define how society works is bound to be out of date in the 21st century.
I eat the Bible
outdated too, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he said any document then.
Right.
Any document really.
Right. So it's behind time and God didn't foresee.
Right.
Okay. Alright, okay.
It is therefore the job of the judiciary to interpret the Constitution in line with modern society.
Modern society.
As Thomas Jefferson famously remarked, the dead should not rule the living.
Well, where the living at? Well, define the dead and the living.
There you go. I would venture to say the dead still rule.
Despite these criticisms, the original intent is a mainstay of judicial philosophy.
Okay.
Indeed, the newest justice of the Supreme Court, Neil Gorsuch, can be defined as an originalist.
Yes, Scalia was too.
As was Antonin
Antonin
Scalia, whom he replaced.
That's the one that mysteriously got
bumped off over the wire.
With one of the most liberal members of the court, Ruth Ginsburg, age 84, and Anthony Kennedy, age 81, there is a significant chance that Donald Trump may have the chance to appoint another originalist to the Supreme Court. This would alter the balance of the court significantly.
So they were concerned about the changes in the court. Is that right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It should have been.
What did they talk about? They were talking about packing the court, though.
Yeah. Well, if you get enough justices on the court, you forever in deliberation, or you forever, and once you start packing, once it get past 9, where the original framers had it,
right,
then
right.
What's the limit? The sky is the limit then.
Okay. Yeah.
So the new justices, their mindset would be with the modern times, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, not back yonder.
No.
Way yonder. No. When the brothers, you know.
And they've almost got the document.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the picture.
Same way with marriage, when they was talking about marriage.
Yeah.
They said, where's going to stop it?
That's right.
Sure. Okay, that's right.
You see it now. You see the transgender movement. That is.
Yeah.
Everybody just seeing or just sit back and wait his turn, then take off when they get ready.
They gave us a mental, gave me a mental test, man. You know, I don't know whether something I was trying to do in the service. But what, you're trying to put a round ball in a square hole, man, all that kind of crazy stuff, you know.
It's kind of hard to put a round ball in a square hole. You know that?
It is. Huh? It is. You know they do that down there. They used to do that down there, Bryce. They used to tell them when they fill that bucket up, they can go home, and the bucket ain't got no bottom. So the water going in, running right out. And so as soon as that bucket gets filled, they can go home.
Well, if given the two different genders to one of the main goals is to reproduce, right?
Yeah.
Only one gender.
That was God's intent.
And you can't reproduce trying to put a round ball in a square hole, can you?
Yeah, it's never that. Work. It never work. Same and same.
Positive
meet equal more positive.
Just a neutral.
Is that what the great scientists in the sky say?
Yeah.
you take a country like China.
Yeah.
You know, they limit their people to one child.
Well, not even.
Yeah. They haven't figured out.
Yeah.
They're changing that.
Absolutely. Well, God is right.
Yeah.
God is right. If we would just, and that's what this is all about. I pray our audience realize that it's not even about greater minds prevailing, because none of us have a great mind.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that's out there that anybody can know is what God allows them to know.
All right. So therefore,
with that being understood and that being the case, why wouldn't you just say, see, we can say the Constitution is a systemically racist document.
Uh-huh.
They've been said that about the Bible.
Right.
Yeah, that's why
the Jews.
Christianity
being the white favor of the Jews.
Yeah, all that. But ain't he God?
Maybe we want to.
That's the way I look at it.
It's his world. That's right. It's his creative power.
But that's the whole thing. It's since the Tower of Babel, we've been dealing with this.
Let me read a little bit of this quickly here.
Alright.
Original intent here by Derek Davis here. Term original intent refers to the notion that the judiciary should interpret the Constitution, including its amendments now, in accordance with the understanding of its framers. The court's commitment to original intent is somewhat tested, however, by the reality that the framers' intentions are not always easy to identify. Madison believed constitutional interpretation should rest on the intentions of the people who ratified the Constitution. Another fact is that it has never been clear to what extent the framers' intentions are relevant to the task of establishing constitutional normals. Some even disagree on this point. James Madison, one of the drafters of the Constitution, felt strongly that future interpretation of the document should not rest primarily on the intentions of the framers, but on the intentions of the people who, through their state representatives, ratified the Constitution.
Amen, that'll work.
Oh yeah. In part, this reasoning explained Madison's decision not to make public for many years the notes he took at the Constitutional Convention. Hamilton, though, believed the Constitution contact should control the interpretation. Alexander Hamilton, who signed the Constitution on behalf of New York, looked to the Constitution itself, believing that the text should control its interpretation. In his view, the Constitution spoke for itself. There was no need to go behind it to ascertain the intents of the framers.
Mm-hmm.
However, in what it says, the Constitution is liberal in granting powers to the national government. Okay, Jefferson, he advocated for strict constitutionism. Okay, let's go over here, brother. I guess I got the right thing there. Thomas Jefferson advocated still another method of constitutional interpretation, the rule of strict constructionism. Jefferson strongly asserted that the Constitution and the Bill of Rights were grounded in the principle embodied in the Tenth Commandment.
Tenth Amendment,
that all undelegated powers are reserved
to the states, respectively, or to the people.
That's it.
But the Supreme Court overruled that.
Yeah.
See, that's the intent of the framers were smaller government. The federal government was a mediator for the states and what have you, but they just taking over everything.
And they were for rotation of the representatives.
Absolutely.
You know, so you get good representation, fresh representation of fresh mind. But now you got 80-year-old senile people.
That's been in politics for 60 years.
Sure, and has no business trying to make decisions in a world like this here. You know,
and so when gay marriage first come out in California, people struck it down.
Yeah, they didn't want it. They voted it down.
Right, the feds stepped in and said, "We don't care what you want." That was the same thing with a bird field.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Same thing.
Oh yeah. The will of the people is disregarded altogether.
That's
right. Okay. Yet even Jefferson violated his interpretive theory, says here, when after originally concluded that the Lutheran purchase required a constitutional amendment, he authorized the transaction without one. Okay, so Jefferson got to step over the line there.
By Louisiana.
Yeah, Louisiana purchased that. Originally intended the Bill of Rights. It can be unclear what the framers were thinking when they drafted the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights was not a part of the document drafted at the Constitutional Convention in 1787. Almost all the delegates believed a Bill of Rights was to be superfluous. The new federal government possessed only limited powers delegated to it by the states. No power had been granted to legislate on any of the subjects that might be included in the Bill of Rights. Therefore, an enumeration of rights was not necessary. From 1887 to 89, the proposed Constitution was considered by the various state ratifying conventions. Meanwhile, a strong anti-federalist, y'all, element developed quickly. Anti-federalist.
No, 1787 to 1789.
Yeah, okay, I had it wrong. Okay. The anti-federalist opposed ratification, hearing that the centralized intentions of the new document would crush the rights of states and individuals. For many of the states, the only solution to this problem was to mandate inclusion of the Bill of Rights. Indeed, six of the states, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, North Carolina, Virginia, confident their instrument of ratification was a list of recommended amendments that would secure various personal liberties such as rights of conscience, right of the press, right of trial by jury. However, the records of the debates of the state ratified convention are of little help in ascertaining the precise meaning of such liberties that system was pursued. Okay, let's see what else we got. We'll skip some of that. That's getting a little bit away from my... Oh, okay, let's go over to the next page over there.
We have 42.
What's it now?
42.
Oh, yeah, okay. I just want to... There's something else I was reading over here, but I didn't mark it on my sheet.
Now, one of the Supreme Court justices we have right now, Pastor, and we mentioned him briefly earlier, but the little outline we got on Justice Thomas.
Yes, okay.
His way of thinking as far as him being a conservative Supreme Court judge, being a black conservative Supreme Court judge, believing in the Constitution.
Okay, right. Okay.
And what it says, how it's to be interpreted.
Okay.
He had an interesting point on that outline we had.
Read it.
It said, one cannot discuss prominent conservative blacks without mentioning Justice Clarence Thomas.
No, you got to be.
He's been a steadfast advocate of conservative principles and a colorblind society for his entire tenure of the U.S. Supreme Court, as well as doing his work for the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission.
Okay.
In 2006, Clarence Thomas concluded 15 years on the Supreme Court, while labeled a conservative and erroneously anti-black by some.
Yeah.
The justice really lived out the life his grandfather hoped for him during the 1960s civil rights movement.
You talked about him often, yeah.
Which was about social and economic parity in America and ending legally forced racial segregation. In a speech delivered to the American
Enterprise Institute in 2001, Justice Thomas was, as always, extremely thought-provoking and on target.
Mm-hmm.
He made the case that he still suffers from victimization, but now has the courage to stand tall and disregard it.
Okay.
In short, he showed a glimpse of Clarence Thomas.
Many don't know.
That's right. Justice Thomas told the audience, "I'm going to speak more broadly tonight as a citizen who believes in civil society,
okay, and
who is concerned because too many show timidity today, precisely when courage is the man.
Coward. Too many cowards.
Judges do not cease to be human beings when they go on the bench.
True. Right. True that.
In important cases, it's my humble opinion that finding the right answer is often the least difficult problem. The courage to assert that answer and stand firm in the face of the constant winds of protest and criticism is often much more difficult.
Push back to that.
And that's what people are caving to today.
Well, you know, one writer, I got a couple books there, that you say that Thomas was, because he was disliked by so many whites and blacks, that Anita Hill thing was a framing to take him down, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You think they can go that far and try to set up?
Yeah.
Do you think they would?
Do you know what you're talking about?
I'm telling you, man, they would do whatever.
Look at Justice Thomas frequently labeled a conservative merely because of his position on affirmative action.
That's right.
Yeah, and a lot of people still splitting hairs over that, brother. But I've always felt that, you know, like I say, when I went in the Air Force in 65, and that wasn't any field that if I didn't qualify for, whether it was intelligence or whatever, I could have took, if I qualified and scored high enough,
right.
That wasn't anything to hold me back. So why is it that today that Thomas is hated for this particular stand here? Affirmative action. He's against putting unqualified people, whether you're black or white, in position simply because.
Well, that's the whole thing, Pastor. That's the whole thing. It had nothing to do with him being against it, but it's being against it because you're not qualified.
Right. That's what I'm talking about. You're not qualified.
And I agree with that today. Why shouldn't the most qualified person get the job?
It's, right.
And what is that saying to the psyche of the black man?
Okay. I could see him being an originalist.
Originalist, okay.
In his mind,
right.
He's probably saying, well, we're already created equal and have equal opportunities. Why should I make this special thing for this particular group?
Which makes a lot of sense. And but the fact that I do know that if a black person worked hard from the time when I was young and qualified, then the job was, you know, was available to him, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
well, the military showed that impartiality long before society.
Well, we understand our history.
We
know what this country has been through as far as our history goes. So we're not discounting anything.
We're not discounting
it.
There are areas where, you know, discrimination.
Yeah, absolutely, and we understand that.
Right.
But at the same time, looking at this society we in today, that's the least side problem.
That's the today.
Yeah.
Today. And if you qualify, if you get the proper education, then what a black can do today?
It's been proven. They're doing it today. But at the same time, I guess one of the big things that proud audience get out of this is it's okay to be black and conservative.
It's okay to be
simply because if we're speaking to Christ followers, believers of the gospel, you're supposed to line up on the side that's right anyway, on the side of truth anyway.
As a believer,
whichever side that may be,
then
that's where you should be standing anyway.
Right.
And I think of,
and
affirmative action, I just see affirmative action being the beginning of not equal rights, but special rights. It just so happens to go to the black folks that time, but next time it goes to the women, or next time it goes to the
homosexuals.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay, but here's the descending voice, though.
You held us back for a lot of years. You wouldn't let me read.
Right.
So I'm so far behind, you know, you should have to make up for it by putting me in the head of the line simply because you held me back so long.
Well, let me go back to this one.
Okay.
Okay.
Our forefathers, like that same book you got right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You can say they was held back, but they still
prevail. That's what I'm saying. That's why that argument don't hold water with me. Because we've had too much success.
They was in worse
condition. And we've had too much success already.
Already.
For that argument to stay. And then another thing. Okay, we know what happened, what's been happening for the last many years over there in South Africa where the Fulani herdsmen and all of them, they just been killing folks and taking their property.
Yeah.
They did all that. They got the land and couldn't work it.
Didn't have the business knowledge. So reparations may not get you prepared.
All you can do with this is the tools that we have now, which is access to anything any other American has.
Mm-hmm.
We have the same access. Take advantage. I've said many times.
Okay.
The things that I didn't do that I could have or should have attributed more so to any shortcomings that I may have than anything anybody else did to.
And what about people that come over here from different parts of the country the last 20, 30 years? And a lot of them, they couldn't speak a word of English.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now they speak better English than
fluent.
So why do we got to go back 200 years and
that's what I'm saying. That's my problem. We had to go back too far. That's why I told you. Kevin, that same picture of the German Shepherd, you get that one. You get that one every time. That picture been around a long time. They ain't lost that yet.
Right. Right.
Kevin, let's get ready to talk a little bit, brother. We going to try to touch on this one more time, Kevin, okay?
I think when we talk about this, Pastor, it's good to know the intent.
Intent, okay, go ahead.
The intent of the founders.
Okay.
And we need to all, as Christians, believers, as American citizens, really, really study and read up on what the Constitution actually says.
Read it, read it real good.
And we'll see that as individuals, individuals, not blacks or whites, but as individuals, we had opportunities from the very beginning.
Okay.
We were on a level playing field from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you put these modern justices in who want to do it their way by going against the original foundation of what the founders or framers
intent.
We have what we have today.
Okay. We have the not progress. We don't call it
not progress.
Regress. We have regress. Yeah, I'm telling you. And then if we have to just be honest about the situation, that's one thing, and stop trying to hold these loyalties to our brothers in the struggle.
Stop trying to hold on to all that anyway,
number one. But when we make a conscious decision to deny ourselves and put Christ first in our life, that comes with walking in the ways of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And when you made that decision already, this stuff right here, these questions, they answer themselves.
They answer themselves.
All you have to do is walk in.
Get in the right order. Get
that's right.
Mind in the right order.
Yep. Praise God. The Constitution speaks for itself. And like I said, it's for moral people, as we mentioned earlier.
Well, basically, yeah.
Like Tony always said,
it works well.
It's because the people don't want to do right.
Okay.
And act right.
Okay. Okay.
Y'all folks.
Yeah.
And some of them other folks. But, you know, even with that, like you said, too, and it's all right to be a conservative black.
That's right.
Yeah.
But stay focused on the Word of God.
Yeah, let your conservatism be based on the Word of God.
Not
on the standard definition of conservatism.
That's right. And don't let man tell you.
Yeah,
I mean, do your own preemptive research and reading and start with the Word of God.
That's right.
You always come out right if you start with the Word of God.
If you start out with the Word of God. Father, bless you. We thank you, Lord.
Yes.
This time, opportunity, Lord, to just to look back again at this Constitution and the intentions of the Constitution,
yes,
and how they had in mind the foundation of the Word of God. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you help us to communicate to our audience, Lord, the importance of this document and your hand in this document.
Yes, Lord.
We ask it all in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.